We're starting on the top of Ayin Chet Amud Aleph. So Gemara says, Pshita, by this Vuni b'meyav lo eshkach. He needs to raise capital. He needs to pay money. So he has to raise 100 zuz. And he takes a piece of land with 100 zuz, and he's incapable or unable to raise the money. V'zavin b'matayim. So then he goes and takes a better piece of property or a larger piece of property and sells it for 200. Ka'ayel b'nafe kazuzet. And then he's pestering the person who purchased it from him for the cash. And pestering him for the cash, we know before from the previous Gemara, is that indication that he really wasn't koneh it, because his intention was to get the cash right away. If he doesn't get the cash right away, that's an implicit tanai, right? We said it's anansade or an umdina, that's his whole intent of the sale was in this manner, and if he doesn't do that, the sale's invalid. So lo koneh. Now, why is that? Because the assumption is that when he would sell a piece of land for 100, that would have been sufficient to satisfy the monies that he needed to raise. But now he has forced to sell 200. So when he's forced to sell 200, he only needs 100 of it for to satisfy the debt or whatever obligation he has. The other 100, he wants to turn around quickly and repurchase property with that 100, so that he can purchase a piece of property to replace the 200 piece that he sold, because he doesn't want to sell that whole amount. He only wants to sell half of it. So the fact that he does not have the cash to do that, we assume means that lukoni. Ella, question is, ibay lezvuni b'meyav lo eshkach. Again, a case where he wants to raise 100 zuz, but he's unable to do. Ve'i tarach, had he expended a little more effort, have a mishkach, then he would have found it. Right? Ve'lo tarach. In the end, he doesn't bother. I mean, he's not interested in undertaking the extra effort in order to get to the 100 from the piece of 100 land. Ve'zavin m'matayim. And then he sells a piece of land for 200. Ve'kayal b'nofek azuze. Then he goes ahead and he's pestering the buyer for the cash. So in this case, my, what's his din? Do we just say, as we said in the last Gemara, right before we started this, if a person's liquidating an asset which they are just happy to sell, then we don't say the reason that they're pestering the person for the money has nothing to do with the fact that there is an umdana, that they really want to retract the sale if they don't get their cash, but rather, they just want to be done with this piece of property. So same thing over here. This person, since he wasn't willing to expend the effort to sell the 100 piece of property, he sold the 200. The reason he's bugging him for the cash is he just wants to be done quickly. Right? It's a matter of convenience, not a matter of necessity where he needs the cash right away. So therefore, we would say that it is konet. Oh, low. Or maybe not. Maybe here again. The fact that he sold it at 200, yes, it's easier for him. But that's his choice. He doesn't want to have to expend the effort. He wants to have the easier route. But he takes the easier route. He also wants to get his cash quicker so that he can repurchase his property with the additional cash. So Gemara leaves that as a teiku, as an unsolved or unresolved issue. Now, this last piece is the last lines in our Mishnah, which says, Sacharita Chamar, he hired a donkey driver, or a kadar, and remember, Tosus had the Girsa Karar, the wagon driver. Socher Alehem Omitan. Again, if they fail to show up or continue the work that he hired them to do, then he's able to hire replacements or to deceive them in order to have them complete the work. Hakama Socher Alehem, how much can he expend in terms of spending to make up for what they didn't do? So Amar Rav Nachman, Akadei Scharan, that he can spend up to their compensation. And that he owes them money now for the work they've completed, so he can spend that money because he has that money in hand and he can spend up to that money. So Eidvei Rav, Rav Nachman, didn't we have a brisa, right, in the previous Gemara that said, Arba'im v'chamishim zuz, at the 40-50 zuz, which is significantly above what the monies that he owes them. So Gemara says, Amalei kitanya yishibata v'chavila liyado. That's talking in a case where he left some sort of security deposit with the person that they were going to work for. Rashi says that it was a typical type of relationship or action taken by, for instance, someone who makes pots or pottery, someone who you give the raw materials to, that he used to leave with you a completed utensil in order to be a security that he'll return to you the raw materials as a completed entity. So if you're holding that security deposit, that security deposit itself becomes, right, now like a monetary money that you can use to satisfy, right, the losses that this person is creating for you, or to pay for the additional labor that it will take to complete the transaction.
Russia says claim the loot,
right?
That's something like tools of the trade.
I'm coming away, Malacha, maybe in Kliman Ut, the Beit Balabayat, right? Or maybe tools of the trade.
They didn't give it to the Balabayat. Their intention of sending the package with the Kliman Ut wasn't so that the Balabayat would be cut on as a as a security. It was just, they sent it there for themselves. So what gives the Baal HaBayis to go ahead and spend
those? Tzvi's question, that's what Tosav asks, is that it's all pshita here. Why shouldn't he be able to take from the, if they're leaving over the utensil for, right, the as a security deposit, then that's exactly what it's meant for. If that's what it's meant for, of course he can take the monies out of that. So Tosas says, the top Tosas says, Vim Tomer, you came Pshito. Like Tosas says, Ishlomar, the first Avamina Tosas is that this is a smachta, Hivalokoni. The Avamina here is that this is an asmachta, because what's the intention of giving the utensils? Not because he really thinks he's going to have to pay in the end. When someone gives something in excess of the value that they're creating, they're really trying to be mamin divrehem. And when they're trying to be mamin divrehem, that's usually an smachta, because they don't really think they're ever going to have to pay or use that utensil. That you're allowed to use it in this instance. The other inami, which is a deik tzvi, what you were mentioning here, is the poel notomla luskor bishobyo velo minakol. The intention of the person who gives it here is not for you to use the full value of it, but rather up to the value of what you are going to do for him. Not in excess of that. So that would be the havamina here, that you're only allowed to use up to the value that you were supposed to create or provide, the services you're supposed to provide, but in excess of the services you're supposed to provide, you shouldn't be able to take out of this utensil. The answer in the end is, kamash mon, that you are. That you're allowed to take even in excess of the monies that he's leaving to you, or he intended to leave for you, you're allowed to take it, because he's caused you, right, this issue, he's caused you this deficit where you're in a bind, and therefore you're allowed to spend the money, even without his, even though that wasn't, may not have been his original intent.
Right. So, you're not allowed to use more than the amount of wages that you owe him, unless you have some asset of his or that he left you or safekeeping, which you're entitled to use that as well.
Right.
If you had not left something behind, you couldn't. He couldn't end up owing the money.
Right, so that's interesting. I don't know why doesn't the Gemara set it up like that case, where he spends in excess of the salary and he takes him to court to extract the rest, which sounds like from the Gemara that you cannot do that. You can't extract the remainder in court.
That's only in a case.
Right, that you wouldn't be able to extract it in court. That's what it sounds like from the Gemara. Correct. All right. New Mishnah. Asocher tachamor lolichol bahar lolichol bebika. Person hires a donkey to drive it up the mountain, and instead he drives it through the valley. Bibika, he hired it to drive it through the valley. And instead he drives it through the mountain. Even if the distance is, it's equidistant, meaning that you, either way, it's the same amount of travel time. And bahar, I'm sorry, umeita, chayav. And it dies, then he is chayav. So that's the ratio of the Mishnah, which is going to be somewhat, seems somewhat strange after we read the next couple lines of the Mishnah, but the first part of the Mishnah just seems to indicate that if you switch between har and bika, bika and har, then you are responsible because you did something that was irresponsible, and by doing that you became obligated in any death or any cause of death for the animal. Now, so cherta machomor lolichol bahar, lolichol bibika, that he took the chamor to drive it up the mountain, instead he drove it through the valley. Imechlika, if it slips, patur. Then he's patur. Why? Because where is it more likely that the animal will slip? That's going up to the heights when he's climbing. So if the fact that it slips in the bika, in the valley, right, is indicative that it's complete ones over here, because he had paid for the ability to take it up the mountain, and now he's taking it through the valley and it slips, that's clearly an ones. The other name, chuchama, if it overheats in the valley, then that's clearly a pshia of the valley, because the air in the mountains is cooler, whereas the valleys are considered to be much hotter. And over here, where you hired it specifically to go up the mountains and you took it through the valley, that's a pshia, the gabe heat. So you're a pusher when it comes to the heat, and therefore you'll be chayav. Now, the other way around, lichol bibika, if he took it or he hired it to drive it through the valley, balicha bahar, and instead he drove it up the mountain, imechlika chayav. If it slips, then he's chayav, because here now he's a pusher. I mean, the animal was trained or was given to work through the valleys, and the valleys there's not a lot of chance of slipping because there's not a lot of climbing. Whereas the mountains involve a large amount of climbing and possibility of slipping, and therefore you're pusheya by taking him up and having him slip on the mountain. Again, if it overheats here, then you'll be an ones, because if it overheats on the mountain route where it's certainly cooler, then of course in the bika he would have died from the heat, and that means that this is outside of his control, or is an ones over here. Imachmat hamale. On the other hand, if it overheats because of the duress of the strain of the climb, then clearly you are chayav over here, because that overheating had nothing to do with the air quality, that is the difference between the mountain and the valley, but rather because you overworked the animal, it had to exert itself more going up the mountain, and that extra exertion caused the overheating, and then it died for that. So in that instance, you'll be chayav. Now, so cheret hachamor v'ivrika. That the Gemara is going to discuss. What does it mean, v'ivrika? Oh, shenasta nasit angaria, or was grabbed by the king's men, put it into service. Then actually the maskir can say to the socher, you know, go get the donkey. The donkey is still available. You just got to get it back, and then you can use it. I don't have to replace it for you. Meita o nishbara. On the other hand, if it dies, meita, right? Machumat malacha or nishbara. It was an ones happened to the animal. Then chayav lamidlo chamor. Then the maskir has to provide a new chamor, meaning that he rented out a chamor to him, and he's got to provide whatever he is renting to him. And if that animal is no longer available, he now has to replace the animal. So in this case, you have to replace it. So the obvious question in the Mishnah is the ratio versus the safe of the Mishnah. The ratio seems just to indicate difference between mountain and bika and mountain. It doesn't differentiate between slipping, overheating, right? It makes a blanket statement. The second half of the Mishnah clearly states, well, mountain and bika depends what happened over here. It simply differentiates between har and bika. Second half differentiates between har and bika, but also what onis happens. That will make a difference whether it's har or bika. Nahar. So that's what the Gemara asks. Mishnah ratio, the lom kam aflig, or Mishnah safe, the kam aflig. Simple question about the Mishnah. What's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa? So I'm going to read the Beit Rabbi Yonai. So Beit Rabbi Yonai says, Reisha Shemetma Machmet Avir, that the animal died because of the air quality. It had nothing to do with heat, nothing to do with slipping. It's simply about air quality. Damrina, Avir Dahar Katla, Damrina Avir Dabika Katla. This animal was used to a certain type of air quality. And when you went ahead and changed its normal atmosphere that it was found in, therefore, you're going to be considered a posheya because you took it out of its normal environment. By taking it out of its normal environment, therefore, you're a chayav. It's irrespective of what happens or why it dies, because the assumption here is that it died because of the air quality. So it's not because it slipped, not because it overheated, but simply the air quality itself is what killed the animal. And therefore, by changing its environment, you were considered to be a posheya and you're responsible. Whereas the second half, there are cases where the death is caused by a specific right type of ones, which is it slipped or it overheated, which is not necessarily related to air quality, but to the environment now where you found whether it should be overheating in this situation as an ones versus another situation would be considered a pshia. That's the Beit Rabbi Yonai. Right. That's the end of it. Right, but that's the assumption is when he hired it, the Balim can say to him, listen, you send me, you need the mountain donkey, I gave you my mountain donkey. So that's the claim he could say. Now, so if you look, Tosos just mentions here, says, Kagon Shemeita Machmad Avir, he says, Avir Perish, Yadua, Shoto Yom Haya Avir Mishune Baharim, Yotermi Bigao Ipcha. Entonces, there has to be some indication that the air quality is different, meaning that you can't just say mountain and bika, there's a difference in air quality, but it has to be some obvious reason where you would say that the air quality is different here, that there's something that's indicative of that difference, so that you know that you could say that air quality killed him. You can't just, you know, willy-nilly say, oh yeah, it's the air quality that killed him, and he didn't die, you know, mali malach mavet hacha mavet hotam. If it just died, it came its time to die, then we can't make that claim. So Tosfos says there has to be some evidence that there's a air quality difference in order to have this understanding. Now, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Ina Amar, Kon Shemeitim Machmat Uvtzina. The rear died because of the duress of the exertion from the burden that it was placed on it. So because it died because of this extra duress or this extra burden, right, that is considered har versus bika, that would make the difference, but not about slipping versus overheating. Now Tosfos says, even though in general, when it's made to machmat malacha, right, then we say it's patur. I mean, if the animal is made to carry a burden, then if it dies carrying the burden, then that shouldn't be the responsibility of the individual who hired it. That's what it was intended use is. If it's intended use is that, then why is he held accountable or responsible over here? But it also says, Mikom Akom Kevin Sheshina Chayav, because he changed the context or the environment in which the animal is working. That's what makes him b'chayav over here. For instance, shayolo loylicho bahar. Efshar shemei amalicho sham loytam mityagat machmad avihar v'ruach shaletet sham. You could make the claim that true, it died because of the burden, but nevertheless, had it simply taken the animal up the mountain, the cool air would have assisted it in carrying the burden. And therefore, when you took it into the bik'ah, that burden itself is what killed it, even though it's meita machmat malacha. The malacha was, in the context where it's found, is considered to be a pshia, considered to be your problem. And the same thing with the bika. Maybe because if it was a flat surface, right, the assumption would be that it could handle the duress or handle the burden. Whereas when you took it up the mountain, it had to exert itself not only on the burden it was carrying, but also to climb the actual mountain, that's what caused the death. So even though, again, it's meita machmat malacha, but it's machlach malacha b'shina, that he changed something in the context, and therefore we can blame him or put the blame of the death upon him. Now, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan, I skipped one. Rabba Amar Kigonshi Kisha Nachash, that was bitten by a snake. So therefore, it was bitten by a snake, right? That is why he is chayav. So you're going to see everybody shaking their heads. But the snake, why should it make a difference? Bahar uba bika, if it's a snake. So that's at the end. You have to say that there was known, or it was well known, that there were snakes in this area, whether it was a mountain or a bika, that there was some known snakes that were available in that area, or that trafficked in that area. And therefore, his changing of the location is what caused the problem. Tosis asked the obvious question, then he could have just said bika and bika, or har har, as long as it was a place where there was snakes and not snakes. Meaning that the difference should be whether there are snakes, not whether it's a har and a bika. Tosis goes through a complicated discussion about whether this is tchilat or b'shia b'sofa b'onis, and what does Rabba really hold over here. I don't think it's the right time to delve into the tchilat or b'shia b'sofa b'onis, but Tosis then tries, because of this problem in Rabba, to suggest that Rabba holds, right, in places that tchilat u'b'shia b'sofa b'onis is chayav, and that is why he's going to be chayav in these instances over here, because even though it, in the end, he's an ones that the snake bit him, it's the tchilat u'b'shia, the change from the bika to the har to bika, that tchilat u'b'shia is what causes the problem over here, and therefore in the end, when he gets bitten by the snake, that is what causes
more snakes among this other.
Right, that's the second answer. I give you the second answer. I told you that doesn't have to deal with the right.
The
snake would have been the same either way. It was a problem that, right, it is an ones, but the problem was that tchilato, what he did wrong in the beginning. The Tosfos at the end doesn't like this, because then it forces a bayi into a corner, makes a bayi not like all the other amoraim. So therefore, Tosfos rejects this explanation. Backpedal in the end, and then he talks about this idea that the possibility that Tzarech Lamosh Permitzuim Nechashim Baharim Mibika or Ipcha, and maybe there's some reason that the mountains are full of snakes or the valleys are full of snakes, whatever reason it is that there's this differentiation. That was the original explanation I said to you to avoid the other problem or the Tosfos explanation the other way. So now the last answer is Rav Chiya bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan Amani Rabbi Meir here. This is Rabbi Meir. Damar Kolam Mavir Al Dat Zosho Balabait. Anybody who violates the will of the balabait, meaning the owner, does something that the owner did not agree to, then nikra gazlan. He automatically becomes a gazlan. Now, the Gemara's gear is going to look for a source of Rabbi Meir. Where does Rabbi Meir say such a thing? Although, I just thinking out loud, what the Gemara doesn't mention here is that Rabbi Meir has a similar type of sheet that we saw before by Gitin. Kol ha-shonem imatbeya shetavu chachamim b'gitim, right? Then the Vlad is a mamzer. Rabbi Meir has this idea that when a person changes from that which is demanded of him or that which is indicated towards him, then the outcome will be something negative, that we're going to be konesim, or we're going to, here it's really not kones, but that, right, creates a outcome that is, right, not
pleasant. It's clear. Rabbi Meir was really saying that the Chachamim established a procedure for given that has to be followed. If they didn't follow it,
you don't have a get,
no,
right? Right. I agree with you. There it's different. But I'm just saying that you see this formulation that Rabbi Meir uses, that if you don't follow the right way to do things, then you're going to be out, then it causes you problems. Now, Gemara is going to search for a different source over here, which is two Tosfot. If you want to look at it, there are two Tosfot. They discuss it at length over here. The first Tosfot is a Chuchma, and then the last Tosfot is a Rabbi Yossi. If you want to look at it, Tosfot in the first Tosfot discuss the fact that Tchilat B'Shia B'Sof Onis, the onus has to be connected to the fact of the B'Shia. That we talked about, that there has to be causation. Right, that's a general principle in Pshia that we don't. We accept the Chiddush of Pshia Sovon is that the Pshia has to have some relationship to the onus that happened in the end. That the Pshia has to be a causation or direct causation to the onus that happens in the end. If the Pshia has no relationship to the onus, then we can't. Then we can say Mali Malach Mavis Hacha, Mali Malach Mavis Shahata. Then what's the relationship? What he did had no contributing factor towards the Pshia. And that Tosfos discusses, and the second Tosfos discusses what we just discussed over here, which is that whether you really want to lock the Gemara into saying Tchilat Shel Pesivus Ovon is only according to Rava, and that's where Tosfos tries to back out of it and not. So if you look, it's actually on the Amud Bet here, he discusses what you're asking about. All right, so now, hi Rabbi Meir. Where do we know this from in Rabbi Meir? Ela Rabbi Meir b'tzeva. If you're talking about Rabbi Meir from the Gemara Mishnah Baba Kama, it's not a note in Semer l'tzeva, l'tzboa lo adom. So he gives it to the right dyer to make it into red, and instead he makes it black. Shachor b'tzavo adom, or the other way around, he gives it to make it black, and in the end he makes it red. Rameir meir notono d'meitz marom. Right, in the end, all he gets back is the wool. He has to pay him wool back, and that's it. The deal is done. So Rabbi Yehuda, so it sounds like, because he's a gazlan, right, he doesn't owe him anything back, he just got to pay him. Kishata gzeila. Kishata gzeila is tzmaro. The wool that he gave him, white wool. He hands him back white wool. Yehuda omer. Yehuda's opinion, which we've seen numerous times, im ha-shevach yeter al yitziyah, if the benefit is greater than the expenditure, notein lo yeter yitziyah, then he pays him simply the expenditure. If the expenditure is greater than the benefit that he created, then notein lo yeter shevach, he gives the lower of, or the lesser of, the benefit or the expenditure that is received, right, on this item. So Gemara says, how can you prove from here that Rabbi Meir really holds this? Mimai. Dilma, shiny hotam. Maybe it's different by the case in Baba Kama, the Mishnah in Baba Kama. Why? The kanya b'shinu ma'aseh. The principle we were dealing with there in the Gemara in Baba Kama, which is that whether shinoi kona. So maybe the reason that your kona over here is here is because the baal, the uman, the craftsman that is dying, the dyer over here, change the item. And by changing the item, there's a shinu maaseh, and that's what creates the kinyan to make him into a gazlan. But maybe without a shinu maaseh, that will not, right, create balut or gazlan to change the ownership from the owner to you, and therefore it won't work. So in our case over here, we just changed the use of the donkey. That doesn't necessarily mean that there's a shinu maaseh over here that will make it into possession. Ella, ha Rabbi Meir, must be the other Rabbi Meir, de migvat Purim, has to do with the monies of Purim, the collections for monies of Purim. This is from an eternal day of Yonim. The Tanya, Mikvat Purim le Purim. That when the Gabayim collect monies for Purim, it must be expended for Purim. Mikvat Ayir lo Ta'ir. If it's collected for the specific city, it should be expended on the Anim of that city. We don't look carefully to see how much money is needed from the Kupa. But rather, we buy whatever food, we buy tons of animals, and then we shech them, and then we eat them, whatever's left over, they sell, and that excess money they'll put back into the kishot tzedakah. So over here, it's from the side of the Gabayim, that the Gabayim are not allowed to take the monies of Purim and expend them on a different, right, different need within the community, but rather they have to expend it all on the needs of Purim. But if there are leftovers in the end, then we take those leftovers and monetize them, and those monetized leftovers you can then spend the money with other tzedakot. Now, just so you know, that the Gra, there's some gears that leaves out Migbat Ayir Lo Ta'ir, that piece of the Gemara is left out. Now Rabbi Lezer Omer Migbat Purim the Purim. Now Rabbi Lezer changes from focusing on the Gabai and focuses on the Ani. That the Ani receives monies of Matanot Leonim on Purim, he must spend it on Purim. Then Adi Rasha the Kachman Ritzul Ala Sandalo, he can't buy a shoelace, right, for his sandal. Elim Ken Itna B'Mamad En She'ayir. Unless that the original monies that were given to him, right, was done in a manner or such a manner that there was a Tnai implicit in the monies that they can use it for whatever they need if they don't need it for Ma'ut Purim. Divi Rabbi Yaakov, Shamar Mishubi Rabbi Meir. So that's our Rabbi Meir that we're looking for. And Rabbi Shimon Magalil Mekil. Rabbi Shimon Magalil is Mekil in this way. So we have the Tana Kamo, who's indicating, right, that the obligation is on the Gabayim to ensure that the monies get to the Aniyim on Purim. We have Rabbi Lazar, who's quoting Rabbi Yaakov Shem Rabbi Meir, says that even the Aniyim are obligated to ensure that the monies that are given to them are used for Purim. And then you have Rabbi Shimon Magalil, who's Mekil. So now, Mara's suggesting for this. Two different issues, right? Correct. Tosfos mentions that, right? So the proof we're trying to bring from here is to Rabbi Meir, that here, the Ani, when he receives Ma'ot Purim, is obligated to expend them on Purim. So that same thing over here. If you received an animal, you're renting an animal to use it for a specific purpose, you must use it for that purpose. and no other purpose. And when you deviate and use it for some of the other purpose, then you're classified as a galan, gazlan. I'm sorry, so Mar says, Dilma, right? Hotam nami, adat et purim, hu di ayvle, adat et midi achine, lo ayvle. Meaning that why can't you just suggest over here that Rav Meir's opinion is not mufsas on this idea that if you change the purpose of the money, you become a gazlan, but simply that the givers, right, specifically indicated that they gave it for Purim. And therefore, if the Ani uses it or expends it on something else, then he's actually not getting, he's not using the monies that were gifted towards him, and the gift is really not a gift anymore. Because the Balim say, the owners come on and say, look, I want to give my matanot to the Aniim today. So I want the monies to go to the Ani on Purim to expend it on Purim. Now, all of a sudden, if you change it, then that's a violation of the gift. That's a violation of the gift. There's no gift anymore, and he wasn't intending to give the money for that. So when I say, Laha Rabbi Meir, it's another Rabbi Meir, Titania, Rabbi Shimon Lazar, Rabbi Meir, Hanotentina, Ani, Likach, Lo Chaluk, Lo Ikach, Bo Talit, Talit, Lo Ikach, Bo Chaluk. If a person gives money to Ani for a specific purpose, for instance, he gives money to Ani to buy a jacket of some sort, Lo Ikach, Bo Talit, he shouldn't buy for himself a shirt, Talit, Lo Ikach, Bo Chaluk, if it's a shirt, he shouldn't buy for himself a jacket, Mipnei, Shemavir, Adato, Shel Baal Bayit. Then he is, again, in violation of the will of the person who is donating the money to the Ani. Alright, so Dilma Shani Hotam, so maybe over there it should be different. The Atul Mechshadeh. So the problem here is maybe there's Chshad. What's the Chshad over here? The Amre Inche. Amar Plani Zmanina Le Levusha Le Ploni. Anya. He says, I gave money, or this money I'm going to give this clothing for a specific Ani. Below Zabanle. Right, and now they're going to say, listen, the guy didn't buy it. He promised to do this for the Ani, and we don't see the Ani walking around with the jacket anymore. He promised to buy a jacket for this Ani, and now the Ani is not walking around with the jacket. So look, he didn't keep his word. Right, or he says, I'm going to buy him, you know, a specific type of cloak, right, and he doesn't purchase it for him. So the Gemara says, maybe that's the problem over here. So your question about why not say, because by Purim, you can indicate that the ma'ot that are given to Ani are indicated for a specific purpose, because Purim has that sense to it, that there's a specific reason that it's been given on that day and that time. You could argue by ma'ot to an Ani, right? I mean, I just wanted to get the Ani to take care of him. Right, so the question the Gemara is asking, really a deeper question about Chshad, which is that maybe other people know that he indicated he was going to give it, and now it's not going to be available to him. So Gemara says, Imkein litnei b'mei chshad. The Gemara says that can't be the case. Why? Because we know when a Braisa speaks about chshad, there's a specific lashon that it usually is just mipnei chshad. The Braisa usually indicates that the problem is not, you're not allowed to. We don't say it's a sur. We say mipnei chshad. We say the indication of why you don't do this because of the possible negative outcomes that will come about because of that. It's called chshad. So my mipnei shemavir adato shel baal bayit. So here it says the specific reason is because he's violating the will of the baal bayit, the donator over here. So amina mishum deshanihu, because he's changing that what the money was gifted for. He's changing. And therefore, the classified as gazlan. If you violate the will of the donator of the money, then you are classified as a gazlan, as a thief.
Has he given the
Purim?
It's
going to
be the same
Shabbat Tarek. I think that's very true. Is that there's an obligation to give tzedakah for Purim that day.
And if he misuses it.
Right, if he misallocates it, then you have been yotzei your mitzvah of giving Matanos HaEvyonim on Purim. That's why he's very particular over there. Otherwise, to give tzedakah is to provide for the Ani. So if you provide for the Ani, that's all you want. You want that the monies are used for the Ani. If he uses it for whatever his needs are, I think that you could differentiate. I think that would be the differentiation that I would
say. Yeah, I'm talking about the point that we had to take the next time. He took conclusion that means he's a gazlan. Over there, he said it's not a gazlan.
All right, because over here there's no other factor that you would say that he shouldn't change for. The only other factor is gazlan. Otherwise, there's no factor why he shouldn't be able to change. That's the Gemara's answer.
That's what he gave to you for that purpose.
That's the answer is that no, that we don't look at that. In general, tzedakah, we don't look at that way.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's it for the gabbai tzedakah. It's very important that. You have to know that happens a lot. I know we're involved with Yad Eliezer. It happens a lot. People call up and they want to sponsor something. They're doing a wedding and they're doing something on a particular day and they sponsor. And they want the money spent on that day. So it's very hard. The organizations face it. If they give all the money to one Ani and they say they have to spend it on that day, it's just unreasonable for the person that they're giving it to spend it on that day, because it actually turns out to be the detriment. Because they end up buying too much, yeah. They end up eating it all up, and they have nothing later on. It actually turns out to be worse for the Ani itself. Right. So that's they try, but it's not always as successful. So what they started to do and what they agreed, I know they did this, was that they asked the person if it was okay if they could divide it up. And what they will do then is give small amounts to multiple aniyim, which is they'll try to find, 20 aniyim and give them small like 20 shekel or 100 shekel, and try to give it to them, something that they could spend in that single day and make a reasonable expenditure on that day in order to accommodate the people. But I've heard many times people have some akplata that they want, like sometimes they want to pay for somebody, they want to pay for all their meals over Yom Tov, and they give the money. And sometimes it's very detrimental to the families. You have to be aware, because otherwise, if you gave them the money over 5 weeks, they would spend the 200 shekel every week, and it'd be sufficient for them. They would eat. But if you make them force them to spend 1,000 shekel on that one Shabbos, they end up spending it, and then they get eaten up over the week or week and a half, and then they don't have anything for the other 4 weeks.
So it's a, right. So you give somebody 100 zuz, so put it away. Keep one zuz at a time. You'll have a zuz. You'll spend it.
Right. So that's the other thing. But it's just important from the tzedakah. First of all, both from the giver and the gabbai tzedakah, that they should be aware of this. That you have to really try to be flexible about the tzedakah, or ensure flexibility so that tzedakah gets used properly and doesn't. First of all, you don't show them that balabait, but also so that it's used in the most efficient manner, rather than just accomplishing a specific intent that doesn't necessarily end up benefiting the aniyim. Sucheret hachamor v'ivrika. So we said in the Mishnah, we'll come to the Gemara and find out what's hivrika mean. So ma'ay v'ivrika. So hachet tergamiru nohorita. So that's a lashon tzagi noir. It's nohorita. Something goes bad with its eyesight here, that it's unable to. Rashi says, ayotzeit b'shachor ha'ayin. I don't know, darkened eye. Seems to me that he's dimmed his vision. There's something wrong with his vision. So there the Baalim can say to him, hari shalcha lefanecha. You hired the donkey, it was healthy when you started, it started to lose its eyesight, that's your bad mazel. So you'll have to walk with it and direct the donkey now on the way. So that's it, you have to deal with it. Rav Amar, Avzakat. So where is the Avzakat right over here? So Rashi says, it's Olim Sheitlu Raglea. Some sort of worms or some sort of parasite that gets into its leg that causes it to be less efficient, right? Or it still can do the work, but it's not as strong as it was before. So again, we say your mazel was goreim, that these worms showed up here. The animal was perfectly healthy when I handed it to you. And therefore you can say to him, Ari Shalcha Lefanecha. It's interesting here, just keep in mind that generally when we say Ari Shalcha Lefanecha, it's usually somebody giving it back to the Balim. It's saying Ari Shalcha Lefanecha. Yeah. Over here it's the other way around. It's the Balim saying to the Socher, the renter, who's the temporary Balim, Ari Shalcha Lefanecha, deal with it. I mean, this is the animal that you have to rent, and now you must deal with it here. Alright, so now, how damar lahul abzakat milta b'malko? So it's proof that the word abzakat here, what does it mean? Abzakat means, we said before, worms, or some sort of parasite. So here, abzakat, they're using as a term for moth, and an ash, that is found here. It's coming up in the Aftarot, the Shivan and the Chemta. We'll see the word ash is found in Aftarot, so you can look for it in Shivan and the Chemta. So here they have moths that are eating in the king's clothing. So Amalei b'mai b'tzli kesef or b'tzli zahav. Right, zahav. Is it in the silver clothing or the gold clothing? Now here, silver and gold are representative or indicative of a type of clothing. The silver being pishtan, right, being the linen clothing, and zahav being the tzemer, the wool clothing. So ikadame b'tzli kesef. One person said that he said it was in the linen clothing. So Amar v'kabua, and they killed him because moths don't eat. They don't feast on linen, they don't feast on pishtan. The other one says, no, it was in the wool clothing, and they let him go, because he probably was right that there were moths eating up the wool clothing of the king, and therefore they knew now he was telling them something that was helpful to in order to eliminate the moths from the king's clothing. Right now, Oshinasit in Garia. Alright, he was put into service, the king's service over here. Omer lo asher chalefanecha. So Amar Rav, Rav qualifies this statement. Lo shanu elaban Garia chuzeret. So there are two types of being placed into service by the king's men. One is that the king's men take it and then they return it. Yeah, it's not a permanent. I don't know how you would call it, permanent seizing of the property by the king's men. Right, so that seizure of the property is something that will return, and therefore you say to them, listen, that's your problem. I mean, you were in the wrong place at the wrong time, they took it from you, so you wait and you'll get it back, and then you'll use it afterwards. The other case where they take it permanently, right, then we say that he's got to replace it, because you can't say, there is no chamor anymore, it does not exist anymore. And also the indication here is that if he eno chuzeret, it's like meto nishbara, it's the equivalent of dying or being an ones, that it's totally gone. If it's totally gone, you have to replace it. Shmo amar ben engariya chuzeret, ben engariya eno chuzeret. Now, it's irrelevant whether the animal returns or not. What it has to do is where you're located or why the animal is taken. It was in the direction that you were going, right? Then you can say Rishal Chavanechem. Im la b'derech halichatan itla chayav lamid lo chamor. So the way Rashi reads this Gemara, it has to do with, there were different types of seizures over here. There were certain seizures which had to do with that the king's men were going in the same way you were going. So what they used to do is they used to take a donkey, seize the donkey, use the donkey, and then when they got the next person with the donkey, they would give you your donkey back, and they'd take the next person. So they were basically, you know, it was a, you know, a relay race, in a sense, right? They would relay. As soon as they got the next donkey, they'd give you your donkey back, and they'd take the next person's donkey until they bumped into the, you know, the further donkey along the way. So in that instance, it's clear that with the direction that you were taking the donkey is what caused it to be seized. Because if it wasn't on the road, they wouldn't take the donkey. They only take people going in their direction. They seize the donkey, and then they continue in that direction with the donkey. You follow them, and then you get your donkey back. So there you can say, Arishal Chalifanecha. Right? Whereas, in a case where the donkey was seized from you, not anything to do with, they come into the houses, they're taking donkeys. So in that case, it's not your mazal, it's not because of where you're going. That's clearly because everybody in the ear was, their donkeys were taken. In that instance, a complete onis. And it would have been taken no matter where. So there, the balim are responsible to replace the donkey. That's the way Shmuel explains it, and that's the way Rash explains the case over here. Alright, the Rach over here, if you look, and Tosos brings down the Rach, he doesn't like the Perish of the Conscious, he doesn't like the way Rashi explains it, Venirak Perish Rach, the Mefarish, Im Derech Halicha, Shangari Ein Mechapsim Batim, El Shepogim Bederech. Says that the seizures only happen out on the road, they don't happen. It's like they have some sort of checkpoint on the road. And if you're on the road, then they'll take your donkey. It's nothing to do. They won't take it when it's in the houses. That's your problem. It's your mazal that did it. If you were at home, then it wouldn't have been taken. If you kept it local, you wouldn't have the problem. Fact is, you went out on the road, you bumped into this checkpoint, and they seized your donkey.
It's not a donkey that I have to know when I take that. If they took it for good, the Socha is not going to have to buy that.
No, the Socha is not responsible in that way. It's just that the Maskir doesn't have to replace it in this moment. Right, that's what Shaul was to say. That's him before, that Arshel Chavach in the end goes both ways. In the end, right. And then the other part is, if Shalom B'derech, they took it and they came in the houses and they searched all the houses, then it's Lo Mazlo Shul Sukher Goreim. Chayav Lamino Chomor Acher. Then it's not the Mazal of the Chomor. So the Tosus uses the Rach. He prefers the Rach's explanation over Rashi's explanation. Rashi says it has to do with this concept that they used to hijack the chamor to get to the next location. As soon as they found a new chamor to hijack, they gave you back your chamor. That the Rashi describes, and the Rav says it has to do with where they set up the machsom, and they set up, if you're on the derech, they take donkeys that were there. Whereas when it has to do with this coming in through, searching through houses, already then it's not your mazalcha gorim. Alright. Liz went blind. It's a bryce, not our mishnah. Or it went, lost its mind. The maskir can say the socher, it's your problem. If it dies or it was seized by the government, then he has to set up a new chamor. Now, Bishlam, Mother Rav can explain this brisa versus our Mishnah. Right, the case where our Mishnah says that the Angaria is our Shechal Fanecha, that's a case when what? When it's Choseret, when it comes back. What's Angaria Sheino Choseret? That's a case of our Braisa. When it's Eino Choseret, then it's like Meta Nishbara, and then he has to replace it. So that's how Rabbi explained it. Elu Shmuel Kasha. According to Shmuel, it's irrelevant what type of Angaria. So the Chitim Elu Shmuel Nami Lo Kasha. Right, exactly what Yossi is saying. Why don't you just say Shmuel? Shmuel differentiated between Derech Halicha Labayit, right? Then Kansha B'Derech Halicha Nitla, Kansha Lo B'Derech Halicha Nitla. Just differentiating Shmuel the same way that you differentiated in Rab. He did qualify what type of seizure it was, so qualify that between the, that'll explain the Braisa and the Mishnah. Where it says, Amikdani Seifa, the problem is, what does the Seifa of that Braisa say? Rabbi Shimon Gaben Elazar Omer, Im B'Derech Halicha Nitla, Omer Lo, Harishol Chofenecha, V'im Lav Chayav. So that, Chamor, right, so then, Michlal, L'tana Kama, Lo Shani Le. Right, if Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel is one who defines, makes that differentiation between Alicha and Lo Alicha, the indication is that the Tanna Kamma does not have such a differentiation. How is Shmuel going to explain for the Tanna Kamma? So what should be the answer? I'm the Shmuel. La Miiko Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, the Kali Kavati. We have a Tanna. I have a Tanna. My Tanna is Rabbi Shimon Elazar. I don't hold like Tanna Kamma. I hold like Rabbi Shimon Elazar. I have perfectly good Tanna to support my position. So that's what Shmuel can say. Tanna Amrei, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Right, the classic answer in the Braisa, the whole Braisa is Rabbi Shimon Elazar. It's missing a couple words to make it into one unit. Instead of making it into two opinions, make it into one opinion. How's that? Let's qualify that. That's it wasn't taken on the way. Then if it's taken derech halicha, then you can say harishal chalifanecha by angaria. Divrei Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Shaya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer. Right, that's explaining the Tanakama's position because this is where Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is. Who is the Tanakama? Im derech halicha nitzla omer lo harishal chalifanecha. Im lo chayav din lo chayav lamid lo chamor. So if it was taken derech halicha, then he is says harishal chalifanecha. If not, he has to replace it because then it's like meita nishbara. So all we did was combine Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and the Tanakama. Comes to become a single opinion, and therefore Shmuel can explain the whole price because the whole price is Rabbi Shimon Elazar, who exactly like who he holds like. So Gemara says, "Umi masit mukum glak Rabbi Shimon Elazar." Can you really set this up with Shimon Elazar? V'ha'ak tani reisha. That's at the beginning of the Mishnah. Braisa say, "Socher to chamor viviko unishtatata." Right, if the chamor was right blinded or a vision went down in quality, or he went lost his mind. Omer leo ashel chalafenecha. Rabbi Shimon Elazar omer socher to chamor liokova leha viivrika. Very explicit braisa. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, if you hire a donkey to ride on it, viivrika, and its vision goes down, oshinishtatata, or it lost its mind, chayav lamid lo chamor. Then he has to replace it. So you see over here, hivrika and ishtatata, according to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, is a complete ones where you would have to replace it. And yet the Braisa says that hivrika ishtatata is arishal chalefanecha. So how could Rabbi Shimon Elazar be the author of the first part of that Braisa? Where it says, Amarabba Baravuna, the Kobalea shiny. Right? So that riding on it is different. Alright, why is riding on it different? Because when you're talking about a load or a burden, the owner can walk on side of the animal and move it along. Meaning that it's lost its vision, it can still do the work that it was supposed to do, which is, right, carry the burden. You just have to stand by it and direct it. But on the other hand, if it's to ride on, then you need it to have vision. Meaning that we don't expect that when it's riding that it can just go wherever it wants. We need it to have some sort of ability to follow its way.
I mean, then it's as if it's made them.
Right, it's like Meitu Nishba, it's lost the purpose by which it was hired for. You can no longer use it.
When can I say Jew about love? It sounds like it's, I can say Jew about love, then theory gives the dog Jew about love.
No, ones, complete ones, we don't say that. When it's no longer usable for the purpose that it is, and then we say that it's Meitu Nishba.
It's like, you know,
degraded, right, it's degraded, then we say too bad. Alright, so that's it, Shaini. A number of public, please, Uchit, dummy. If you're taking glass or delicate merchandise, then that's like riding on the donkey. Why? Because there, you can't say, oh, if it goes off the derech a little bit, you put it back on the derech. Because then when you have delicate merchandise, right, you know, handle with care, then you can't afford to have the donkey be off at all. It has to be directed on its way, and therefore it'll be classified like the kovalet. And if it loses some of its vision, then it's as if it's lost its main purpose. If it's lost its main purpose, then it's like kemeto nishpa, and it's an ones. Right, we'll stop over here.